My name is Savannah Langley, and today I'm going to be talking about Mary. Hello, my name is Mary. When I found out that I was pregnant, I was worried. I was just a teenager, I was engaged, and I was pregnant with the Holy Spirit. I mean, crazy, right? I know, I thought so too. Gabriel came to me, telling me that God favored me highly. I wasn't sure what was happening, but he pressed on. He told me that I was to carry the Son of God. I pondered this. I'm just a teenager. I am pledged to be married, and my soon-to-be husband will think me unloyal and crazy. I was scared, and if God favored me so much, how could he try to put me through this? I could be killed. Back when this was happening to me, there were severe consequences. I was very young, I was engaged, and I was pregnant, but not with Joseph's baby. This could have easily been conceived as unloyal, although I had done nothing wrong. Traditionally, I would have been stoned as a prostitute or an adulterer would. Soon enough, the angel decided to visit Joseph in a dream. He told Joseph exactly what was going on, and Joseph promised me that he would be there for me, and he would accept me, and he would love me no matter what happened. As soon as he stated all this, I was filled to the brim with relief. I was not going to die. I was going to have the Son of God. As I was approaching the birth of Jesus, we were called to Bethlehem for a census. We got there, and there was no rooms for me to stay in. And the contractions were getting bad, and I told Joseph that this baby was coming soon. Well, finally, after searching for a very long time, we found a very kind innkeeper who let us stay in his stable. He told us to make ourselves right at home as much as we could. We crept into the stable, and there was an awful smell, and it hit our noses immediately. The lantern revealed the sight, and it was just animals. It was cold, and it was musty, and it was unsanitary, and our only roommates were donkeys. But there was no time to waste. The contractions were getting very intense, and they brought me to the ground. Joseph was going to have to be my delivery man. There, in the most unlikely place imagined, the Son of God, Jesus, was born in a stable. Hours later, shepherds appeared and said they were told by a choir of angels that they would find the Savior born here. Later on, wise men from the east came bearing gifts and bowed low as they worshiped the baby king. Oftentimes, I think of these moments and I think, wow, the king of the universe, born to me, an ordinary girl, in a stable with animals, shepherds and wise men, the only visitors. His glory is truly his humility. As soon as Jesus grew, I was humbled all the more to be teaching the one who gives wisdom and knowledge to men. Oh, how my heart loved him more and more day by day. He was a good boy, and one could even say he was a perfect child, literally. He grew in wisdom and love, showing kindness to everyone. When he was old enough to work, he worked in Joseph's carpenter shop, and he learned the trade. Alas, the day had come, and he had grown up, and he was 30 years old, and he told me and Joseph that he was to go start his ministry. It was time for the one who had learned to work with and shape wood to work with and shape other men's hearts. As soon as he started his ministry, he was rejected by many people that he came across. The thing is, all he was trying to do was help them, but many of them wouldn't let him. They thought that he was here to storm in as a military leader, become a physical king here on earth, and save them from all of their enemies. Yet that was not the case. He was here to die to deliver us from the bondage of sin. It upset me deeply as a mother to see the way my son was treated. He was a savior, and although he was a savior, Isaiah's words have taught us that he was not one to be desired. Nonetheless, Jesus transformed and changed so many lives by healing them from sickness, blindness, deafness, being lame, demon-possessed, and even relieving the spiritual burdens created by the religious leader. My Jesus, my son, changed lives. Now, Jesus had a rowdy bunch of followers, 12 of them to be exact, all of different trades, and they were all extremely young as well. All of them argued, and they all had different problems, but Jesus was willing to work with them as they were. He was probably the most patient man I ever knew. Eventually, these boys that followed him came to change the world like he did. About 3.5 years after Jesus started his ministry with these disciples, he was betrayed. Judas, a seemingly trustworthy disciple, had turned him in. And for what? 30 pieces of silver? It's truly amazing what greed can do to a man, no matter what the sum of what is paid. The process of a trial was to take place, and I saw the results of what they had done to him after they pleaded him guilty. He was beaten to a pulp. I didn't even recognize him, and my heart hurt so bad as if a sword was pierced through it to watch this go on. I watched him as he staggered down the path to the hill outside of town with the cross on his back and the crown of thorns on his head as crowds mocked him and he could barely walk anymore. They laid him down, they laid the cross down, and they pounded nails into each of his wrists and into his feet. And every time they hit the nails with that hammer, I could hear him cry out. And there he hung, the Son of God, with two other men who were lowly, who were thieves, behind him. I had to watch my son die in front of me. It was the worst thing I had ever gone through. After all that, a man named Joseph from Arimathea offered to bury him in his own personal tomb. So Jesus was brought down, wrapped, embalmed, and laid in the tomb. It seemed that all hope was lost, and that Sabbath was the saddest we'd ever known. Or so we thought. That Sunday, early in the morning, Mary had gone to visit the tomb and was startled that it was open, unattended, and empty. His body was gone. And an angel had appeared to Mary and said, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he is risen. Go tell his disciples." She ran quickly to the room where the disciples had been staying and burst in, and she shouted and she jumped and she couldn't contain herself that Jesus, the Son of God, was risen. To make a wonderful long story short, Jesus appeared to us, and later on he took his disciples up to a hill where he ascended on a cloud into the heavens. His final words to his disciples were, "Go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all of the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Thank you.
Hello, my name is Hadassah, but you will probably know me better by the name of Esther. God has helped me through many hardships and used me in ways that I never thought possible. Let me tell you the story. It all started when I was a little girl. Both of my parents died, but I was very blessed to have my cousin Mordecai, who adopted me as his own daughter. He has taken very good care of me through the years, and we have grown very close. He has always watched out for me, and I hope you're going to see that today in my story. A little while ago, I began hearing about the incident that happened between King Xerxes and his queen. I didn't get every detail, but I did know she did something to make him mad, and well, he needs a new queen now. Apparently, he's calling for all young girls to come over to the palace so he can choose a new queen. I had no intentions of going, but Mordecai really wanted me to for some reason. He's been really pushing me. I told him my concerns, and I explained that I really just wanted to stay here with him, but he told me that, for one, most likely I would not be chosen. After all, there were going to be thousands upon thousands of other girls there, so my chances of actually getting chosen are pretty slim. He also added that if God didn't want me to be queen, he wouldn't let it happen, but in the chance that that was his plan, Mordecai said I should go. I suppose he's probably right. I decided to go. Mordecai was glad. However, he warned me not to tell anyone that I was related to him or that I was a Jew. A little time passes, and I got to the palace. From there, I went under the care of a man named Haggai. Eventually, it was my turn to go to the palace to meet the king for the first time. I pleased the king and won his favor. Immediately, he provided me with beauty treatments and special food. Anything I wanted, I could have. He then assigned me 7 female attendants selected from his palace and moved me and my attendants into the best place in the harem. A lot of people were jealous of me and wanted to be in my shoes, but if I'm being honest here, I really just wanted to go home to Mordecai. I didn't want to be here, but as Mordecai advised, I just trusted God's plan. I was here getting beauty treatments and everything for a long time now. It's been about a year. My whole life had changed abruptly just a few months ago, and at this point I was beginning to get used to it, but I didn't necessarily enjoy it and just wanted to go home. The one thing that made it easier was that Mordecai came and visited me nearly every night that I was there. After my time was up, I ended up getting chosen by the king to become his new queen. I was somewhat upset and scared, but I just had to constantly reassure myself that God had a plan for all of this. A little while later, I was visiting with Mordecai, and he told me he had overheard two of the king's guards talking and that they were going to plot to kill him. Mordecai and I decided it would obviously be best to tell the king. I went and reported to the king and told him that Mordecai had told me that his guards were plotting to kill him, giving full credit to Mordecai. When the report was investigated and found to be true, the two officials were killed, and all of this was recorded in the Book of Chronicles in the presence of the king. All the royal officials at the king's gate knelt down and paid honor to Haman, his highest noble, for the king had commanded this. But Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor because he said he would only bow for our one true God. Day after day, he refused to bow. This made Haman very angry, and he wanted to kill Mordecai. Eventually, he got so angry that he decided he would rather just wipe out all the Jews instead of only killing Mordecai. Mordecai came up and explained this to me, and I explained to me that I had to go to the king and tell him what Haman was planning to do to our people. I pondered it for a little while and wrote him a letter saying that I couldn't do that because anyone who went before the king without being excused were to be killed. He then responded and said, "Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your family will perish. And who knows, but you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." He was right, and I realized that I really did need to go talk to the king. And if I were to die, I were to die saving my people. 3 days later, I put on my royal robes and left for the king's hall. I was standing in the inner court in the front of the hall. I was just standing there, terrified. My heart was thumping so loud I swear everyone around me could hear it. My hands were sweaty and I was shaking, but I had to do this to save my people. I began to walk into the room, and I saw him sitting in his throne facing the entrance. He saw me approaching, and he was happy with me and held out his gold scepter that was in his hand, which meant that I was excused. I sighed a big sigh of relief before I approached and touched the tip of the scepter. Then the king asked, "What is it, Queen Esther? What can I help you with? Even up to half the kingdom, and it will be given to you." I made the simple request to invite him and Haman to a banquet that night that I prepared for them. The king had his servants bring Haman at once, and they all ate the dinner I had prepared for them. While we were drinking wine, the king asked me, "Now what is your petition? It will be given to you. And what is your request? Even half the kingdom, and it will be granted." I then replied and said, "My petition and my request is this. If the king regards me with favor, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, let the king and Haman come tomorrow to the banquet I will prepare for them. Then I will answer the king's question given to you." I made the simple request to invite him and Haman to a banquet that night that I prepared for them. The king had his servants bring Haman at once, and they all ate the dinner I had prepared for them. While we were drinking wine, the king asked me, "Now what is your petition? It will be given to you. And what is your request? Even half the kingdom, and it will be granted." I then replied and said, "My petition and my request is this. If the king regards me with favor, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, let the king and Haman come tomorrow to the banquet I will prepare for them. Then I will answer the king's question." The king told me that him and Haman will be back tomorrow. That evening, Haman left happy and in high spirits. However, he then saw Mordecai at the king's gate and saw that he refused to stand and he did not show fear in his presence, which made him very angry. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and just went home. When he got home, he called together his friends and family. He boasted to them about his vast wealth, his sons, and the king, how the king had honored him and elevated him above all other nobles and officials. And that's not all, Haman added. "I'm the only other person the queen invited to accompany the king to the banquet she gave, and she invited me along to go with the king tomorrow. But all this gives me no satisfaction as long as I see that Jew Mordecai sitting at the king's gate. His wife and all his friends told him to have the king kill Mordecai in the morning, then to go enjoy himself at the banquet. That night, the king could not sleep. He had someone come read him the Book of Chronicles to try to help him fall asleep. While he was being read the book, he found out that it was Mordecai who exposed the two guards that were plotting to kill him and asked if anything had been done to thank him for that. He found out that nothing had been done and got very upset. He wanted to do something to honor him, so he decided to call upon Haman, who was in the courtyard. The king asked Haman, "What should be done for the man the king delights to honor?" Haman immediately assumed it was for him, and he told him that he should get a royal robe the king has worn and a horse the king has ridden. Then let the robe and the horse be entrusted to one of the king's most noble princes. And then have the prince guide the horse through the streets, yelling, "This is what is done for the man the king delights to honor." The king loved the idea and told him to do that for Mordecai and to lead him around on the horse through the city streets. He was furious, however, he still did it for the king. That night, the king and Haman attended the banquet I had prepared for them again. The king asked me, Queen Esther, what is your petition? It will be given to you. What is your request? Once again, I was terrified. My heart was pounding and I was shaking, but I knew I had to do it to save my people. If it was God's will, he'd save me, right? So I braved up and told the king what was happening, and I said, If I have found favor with you, your majesty, if it pleases you, grant me my life and spare my people. That is my only request. I and my people have been sold to be destroyed and murdered. If we had been merely sold as male and female slaves, I would have kept quiet because no such distress would justify disturbing the king. He then asked me, Who is he? Where is he? The man who dared to do such a thing. I pointed and said, It is him, Haman. Haman is the one that has been doing this to my people. The king got up and left in a fit of rage. Haman stayed behind to beg for his life, for we both knew the fate of the king had already decided for him. Haman was killed in the same way he wanted to kill Mordecai. In conclusion, Esther's story is all about how if we are faced with very challenging trials, we need to just remember that God has a plan for us and we just have to trust him. Jeremiah 29:11 says, For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. We must put our trust into God and remember he will never make us face anything that is too hard for us to handle.
I am Leah, always loved second best and jealously reaching for that which I cannot have. I was a small woman with weak eyesight, living in the shadow of a beautiful younger sister. The husband who I lived devoted to never wished to make me his wife, only to get the elder sister of Rachel married off so their union could suitably occur. Life happened quickly in my case. Jacob arrived, requested my younger sister's hand, and all at once my father began his scheming. An arrangement was made for Jacob to stay at my father's house and serve him for 7 years before finally marrying Rachel. The feasting promptly commenced as his final days of serving Laban were completed. Those years were long for the rest of us, me especially, watching who I knew to be my future husband favor and coup over my younger sister. But Jacob felt that the years lasted no more than a few days and would gladly wait longer to take Laban's second daughter as his wife. Despite his love for her, Rachel and I were switched by our father during the ceremony, and Jacob tricked into wedding a woman who he did not care for. We were both cheated. My husband had thought he was marrying the woman he had chosen for himself, but he was truly marrying the unknowing older sibling who wished only to finally be loved. The result of my father's deceitery was Jacob's unhappiness, something none of us wished to bear, and at that, permission was granted for Jacob to serve another 7 years, and take Rachel as his wife also, and they were wed. I woke each day with a craving to serve Jacob better, grow into a better wife, and in return have him finally love me back. This driving need was pressed forward by feelings of neglect, betrayal, and overwhelming disappointment, and not by God's wishes. The knowledge that I would never surpass Rachel boiled within me, but I worked as hard as I could to please him. As God looked down upon me, he witnessed my suffering and opened my womb, and I bore my first son with the hopes that the man I was forced to marry would at last love me equally to my sister. He did not, but my hope never diminished. Child after child was born to me. Jacob's affections never changed toward me, but I smiled with the knowledge that Rachel was barren and could not give him children as I could. She would realize this and let jealousy take over her actions, giving Jacob her maid to bear children in her place. And suddenly my life was transformed into an infinite race toward a finish line that continuously drifted out of my reach. For Rachel had everything, and I had the opposite. Every morning I opened my eyes and was led into another day of longing for a love that did not truly belong to me. I lived in misery, for I had forgotten one crucial piece of my life's puzzle. Though Rachel was the only love of my husband, God's love was for everyone. It had often slipped my mind that the love of our Lord exceeds all else. He never picked favorites, never helped one over the other, just handed us the tools we needed and smiled when we utilized them. Our Savior had granted me my children, my home, and my life. I existed purely because of the compassion he divulged for me and my family, and his willingness to continue my heart in its beating. Each one of us was simply a lowly sinner, overflowing with regret and seemingly irredeemable mistakes. But the God I chose to follow viewed me as his child and held my hand through the storms of life. Whatever love Jacob may have been capable of does not compare to the caring emotion exuded by our Lord. Why was that not enough for me? Why did I continue to chase after an unattainable goal when the answer to everything walked beside me all the time? Why was I unable to find the satisfaction I craved in God alone? It's possible that through the dissatisfaction in my life, I was made dissatisfied in the gifts that Christ gave to me. For every soul he sires into the world, he maps an outline for the lives he wants them to live. And unlike that of many God-fearing people who came before me, his plan for my life was but a simple one. I was not born to be a jealous sister wife, begrudging the woman most favored by Jacob, though that is what I became. I was put on the earth to be the mother of seven children who would become central figures in our world. I was born to follow God. I was born to help shape the society we lived in with both the choices I made through the wisdom of the Lord and those that I made out of my own ignorance. Though bearing children was a quotidian expectation for the wife of any man, giving birth to Simeon, Levi, and the rest was anything but. It took me far too long to understand the importance of my living on the earth and the significance my story may have played in the world. But I came to fully comprehend and accept the person I was meant to be and the purpose I was meant to fill. As a young woman, I had thought that the path I was destined to take was whatever path my father or husband chose for me. But I was mistaken. My path was guided by the hand of the Lord and dictated through my own wrongs and rights. This was true for all people who lived on the earth, and I know now that real satisfaction comes from God alone through following his plan for us, and all else is fleeting. In Pathfinders, we learn that God calls us all to do special things, and the most important thing is for us to be ready to carry out his will.